You know what's crazy, Austin? I never actually watched Everybody Loves Raymond, even though he's a sports writer.
Yeah. I've seen an episode or two. That's it.
Yeah, but I've never actually watched it consistently. So maybe that's something I'll have to find, like, on reruns. I have no idea if it's streaming anywhere. There's got to be somewhere that has it, I'm sure. That music, though, means just one thing. It is time to chat with the great Steelers writer himself, Ray Fittipaldo, from the Post-Gazette. Ray is brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers, 7 locations in the Pittsburgh region. They'll take your personal injury case personally, LGKG.com. Ray, I'm sure you've been asked a million times, probably by Joe, because he forgets every single week. Did you watch Everybody Loves Raymond?
I mean, that was a staple in the 90s. I mean, there were so many characters on that show. Not only was Ray Romano great, and still is, but the old man, his father in that show, Peter Boyle, just tremendous. So, yeah, I would... used to be on TBS. I don't know if it's on TBS anymore, but you got to check it out.
What's the name of the big guy with the real deep voice?
Isn't it Brad Gilbert or something like that? I think.
Yeah, you might be right. I know. I've seen him in a few things. I just remember he was the real tall fellow with the deep voice. He was in The Pacifier with Vin Diesel in the 2000s.
Yes.
Ray, getting on to the topic at hand, obviously quarterback is, again, the big story going into this weekend. The Steelers will practice a little bit later. We'll get that report a little bit later. Based on what you've seen so far from Russell Wilson, do you think we're in store for another Justin Fields start this weekend?
Yeah, that's the way it's trending, Donnie. And, you know, even based off what Mike Tomlin said on Tuesday, you could read a lot into that. And, you know, practice hasn't been, you know, any different on Wednesday and Thursday. So, you know, today we'll probably get Russ being questionable again. And then if Mike wants to play this out and keep him guessing into the weekend, I suppose Russ can go out there Sunday morning and do his thing again. But, you know, it seems like 95% sure that Justin's going to start. And, you know, we'll see what next week has in store for Russ. But when he talked yesterday, he just seemed kind of resigned to the fact that he wouldn't be going back home to play the Broncos.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going off what Mike Tomlin said. And then also I had your colleague at the Post-Gazette, Brian Batko, on the other night. He said, we don't even know if Russell Wilson can run right now.
Yeah.
That is quite problematic to me from somebody that plays in the National Football League if you don't know they can run.
Well, I mean, if you go back and listen to what Russ said yesterday, for the first time, Donnie, he came out and said, quote unquote, it was a pretty good calf injury. And we were all kind of led to believe, you know, late July, early August, that was all precautionary, that they didn't want to, you know, a small problem to turn into a big problem. Well, here we are 6 weeks later, and, you know, that calf is still very much an issue. So, yeah, Russ hasn't done much here really for the last week, if you go back to last week when he tweaked it. So, you know, we could be in store for the Justin Fields show here for not only this week, but, you know, the next couple of weeks as well.
Do you think there is any change in mindset with Mike Tomlin and the rest of that coaching staff, as in if Justin Fields plays to kind of what he did in Atlanta, maybe a little bit better, maybe they actually score a touchdown or two in this game, but they keep the football in their possession, they don't turn it over. It's starting to, for at least to me, get to the point that it feels like it is Justin Fields' job to lose.
Yeah, I mean, I think Russell Wilson is still their starter, Donnie, but, I mean, you're right. You know, it's going to be harder for the coaching staff to pull him out of games as long as, you know, the team is winning and the offense is playing well behind him. We talked to Arthur Smith yesterday. You know, he mentioned the tough first drive where you had the fumbles and the ball would snap and, you know, really the issues with accuracy. But after that, you know, he mentioned they scored on 6 of their 10 scoring drives. And he said the big momentum shifts were at the end of the halves. You know, he gets that long pass to George Pickens right before halftime, cuts it to 10-9, and Steelers get momentum going into the half. And then at the end of the game, you know, Justin makes a play with his legs and pretty much puts that game on ice. The Steelers, you know, run down the clock after that, after the 2-minute warning. So Arthur Smith called it efficient football. You look at the stat line, it was nothing great, but I think we knew whether it was Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, they didn't need, with this defense, they didn't need that guy to go out and throw for 300 yards each week.
Another big story to follow when it comes to the Steelers. Will we see the debut of Troy Fautanu on Sunday, and what will be the revolving door either with Dan Moore Jr. or Broderick Jones, Ray? What's your latest on that?
Yeah, we'll probably find out in a couple of hours. You know, I think that's going to be a big storyline after practice today. Guys down there will watch practice, and, you know, they'll have a great feel for who was out there with the ones. So, you know, I think it's trending towards Troy being the right tackle, Dan Moore still being the left tackle. Dan Moore returned to practice yesterday. And honestly, Donnie, I saw him on Wednesday when he didn't practice. He was walking around just fine. Ankle wasn't taped or, you know, anything like that. So that seems like it's a minor deal. So, you know, we'll see if Broderick Jones goes to the bench. But my feeling right now is that, Troy Fautanu will get his first start at right tackle against the Broncos.
Are you a fan of how they're handling that with Jones? I mean, this is a guy who last year in the draft they traded up to acquire. I know that he was more so a raw talent than what Fautanu was, but I don't know. I just don't love the idea of playing the guy out of position and then benching him for another rookie. This is a dude that you put a lot of stake into just a little over a year ago.
Yeah, I don't think I don't want to say it's being mishandled, because Broderick stepped up in a time of need, and he was able to play right tackle last year, and he's kind of just been stuck over there because Dan Moore hasn't given up that position at left tackle. Listen, it's unfortunate, you know, for Broderick if it turns out to be that way on Sunday, but I do think in due time, and it might just be a couple weeks, I think Broderick Jones will be the starting left tackle. And I think we'll look back on this, Donnie, and we'll be like, oh, that wasn't a big deal at all. You know, so Dan Moore's history says that he has good games and bad games. And I think once we see a bad game or two from him, that they'll look at that as an opportunity to go ahead and get Broderick Jones back into the lineup.
Talking to Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers insider from the Post-Gazette, he's on the fan hotline brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Ray, we'll stay on the offensive line for a couple of more questions here. You are somebody who appreciates that, a former collegiate offensive lineman yourself. Zach Frazier, he laid on a very good first impression, at least for me. Man, he looked awesome. They had the snap snafu early, but blocking-wise, that dude looked like the real deal right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was one of their better offensive linemen in that game, he and Dan Moore. I thought those guys played really well. And that bodes so well for the future, Donnie, because I think we all had an inkling that Zach Frazier was going to be a good player. But, you know, you take a guy in the second round, and you're never really sure, if he's going to, pan out to what you think he's going to be. But they've loved this guy since he's walked in the building. He's mature. He's built for it. He's got that sturdy center look about him. And, you know, he can handle NFL noses every single day of the week. Yeah, he's going to come up against a bad matchup a week here or there. But you saw what he did against the Falcons. You saw what Arthur Smith said yesterday about that entire group. I mean, I thought it was interesting. Zach Frazier and Spencer Anderson are making their first NFL starts. They're really still young. Bunch of guys who are 26 and younger on that line. And I think the TV people on Saturday asked Arthur Smith, how are you going to protect that young line of yours? And he said, blunt force trauma. You know, we're going to come out and we're going to play smash mouth football. And that's what they did. You know, it wasn't pretty at times, but, the Falcons really wore down as that game wore on. So, kudos to Zach Frazier, but all those other offensive linemen as well. You know, we kept talking over the offseason, were they going to get off to a good start? You know, could they pick up where they left off last season when they were running the ball so well? So, you know, at least for 1 week, they seem to be picking up where they were at the end of last season.
Something else that is also a good sign for offensive linemen is when they go through a game and you really don't notice them, because usually when the name is getting called, it's very rarely in the form of praise. We do see that a little bit more today than we used to, Ray. But I felt that way about Spencer Anderson. I thought even in a case where he was playing a little bit out of position, he had to step up big, kick off the season, make his first start in his NFL career. I didn't notice him a ton in a bad way on Sunday. Did you get that same feel?
Yeah, there was one bad pressure. He let up to Grady Jarrett. Almost got Justin Fields hit. Might have got him hit. But listen, Grady Jarrett's been around a long time.
Yep.
He's made better offensive linemen than Spencer Anderson look bad. But you're right. You know, Spencer Anderson, he's a big dude. I want to say he's 6'5". He's probably 320, 325. And, you know, he's a seventh-round pick out of Maryland. Not a lot of people, you know, thought much of the pick when they got him. Thought, okay, maybe he gets on the practice squad. Well, he gets on the 53-man roster his first year. He plays every single position on that line as a rookie, and that really endeared him to the coaching staff. They love that versatility. That's what it comes down to. If you're going to be a backup in the NFL, you got to be able to be flexible and move up and down that line. So he got his first shot at left guard, and you know, it wasn't perfect, but I thought he did well, you know, considering the circumstances.
Arthur Smith also told you guys yesterday when he spoke, the reason why the middle of the field was mostly avoided or completely avoided, we could say, right, in that game against Atlanta. I mean, people were making fun of the passing charts of Justin Fields left and right because it was nothing between the hashes. He credited Jesse Bates. He credited Justin Simmons. Two very good slash great players, absolutely. Do you believe, though, they will start to utilize that more as the season goes on, and it really does just have to do with maybe who's back there playing the center field type for the defense?
Yeah, it depends on where the best players are on a defense any given week. He identified Jesse Bates last week as their game wrecker. He talked about how impressive he was with the Falcons last season when he was around him. So he wanted to stay away from him. You know, I don't get the sense. I think the Broncos are a really good defense, but I don't get the sense that there's anyone in that secondary other than Surtain. And, you know, Surtain's on the outside. It's a little bit of a different animal because he's going to be likely locked down on one player. So that's a little bit, you know, a different thing. But I think Arthur Smith is going to be really good. He's going to pick out who the best player is on a defense week to week. They're going to game plan around that, and then they'll try to take advantage of some of the mismatches and some of the weaknesses in other areas. I think he's really good at that, and we saw that last week against the Falcons. They pretty much abandoned a big portion of their playbook, and they were still able to win a game pretty much going away.
Here's where I do have some concern with a game like Sunday. Surtain is a player that has the ability to take George Pickens basically out of the game. I mean, at least take him away from having the big impact plays. Who do you think steps up if it's not George Pickens to be that top target? Because they didn't really have one besides Pickens on Sunday.
Pat Freiermuth, I think, could have a bigger role. I think Jaylen Warren is healthier this week. I think you might see him used a little bit more, and especially in the passing game. You know, he only had two rushes for 7 yards this week, but he's one of their best receivers too. So now that he's seemingly getting over that hamstring injury a little bit more, I think he can be more involved. I mean, you've noticed I haven't mentioned any of the receivers. You know, I suppose Van Jefferson can step up and surprise us. Maybe Scotty Miller, maybe Calvin Austin. But did you look at the snap sheet, Donnie? I mean, I think Calvin Austin and Scotty Miller each played around 15 snaps. I mean, they're in this mode now where they're going to go 3 and 4 tight. They're going to try to mash people. And I don't know that any receiver other than George Pickens is going to be deeply involved week to week.
Yeah, I noticed Michael Pruitt, he had the second most snaps among tight ends, obviously Freiermuth leading the way there. Obviously, he has the past relationship with Arthur Smith. Was that something that you and some of the others that cover the team expected going in, that Pruitt would have more snaps than really more than Washington and Hayward combined?
Yeah, not really, because we heard so much over the summer about, you know, Connor Hayward and how, you know, Arthur Smith really liked him, and they, you know, they were going to move him around and try to take advantage of his skill set. He only played 5 snaps, and, you know, Washington obviously played more than that. He was excellent again in the run game. So I maybe it was just a 1 week thing where Pruitt, you know, they wanted to lean on the Falcons a little bit. They wanted to wear them down, and, you know, Pruitt is obviously a bigger guy and can do that better than Connor Hayward. So I think depending on the defense week to week, I think maybe we might see a little bit more of Washington and Hayward. But you're right. You know, Pruitt has been with Smith a long time, both in Atlanta and with Tennessee. And there's that trust factor there. He believes Michael Pruitt's going to execute what he asked him to do. And there's just a comfort level there for Arthur Smith.
On the defensive side, Patrick Queen did not practice yesterday, a groin injury, putting him on the injury report. I got to talk to his comrade last night. I got to chat with Landon Roberts for about an hour, which, by the way, thank you to him and everybody at Minio's and Allison Park for that fun night. Concerned that Queen is going to miss this one on Sunday, or just kind of a precaution?
Well, he was a little bit quiet against the Falcons, so I wonder if it was bothering him, you know, before or during the game. So only 2 tackles, Donnie, you know, probably, you know, under the production line that a lot of people were expecting. But listen, I'd say if he goes out there and practices even just a little bit today, let's say he's limited and he feels like he can go on Sunday, I think Mike Tomlin will afford him that opportunity. So that's the big one to watch this afternoon around 2-3 o'clock when they release the injury report. If he's limited, I think he'll play. If he doesn't practice, then Peyton Wilson might be in there for his first NFL start.
How do you feel Peyton Wilson acclimated to the NFL game? He had a very big tackle, I thought, early.
Yeah.
He tackled Bijan Robinson. If he doesn't make that play, I think Robinson scores a touchdown, and, you know, who knows where that game goes from there.
He's just got a feel for football. You know, we spent a lot of the offseason talking about his athleticism. That shows up every time he steps on the field. But he knows how to get under blocks. You know, he's not the biggest guy, so he's not going to be a guy who takes on 320-pound blockers all the time. So he's smart about the way he goes about his business. And even in practice yesterday, he was getting all the reps with the starters, obviously, with Patrick Queen out of there. He had a nice interception. You know, so he's got a good feel for sub-package football as well. So, you know, obviously Patrick Queen was brought here for a reason, big free agent signing. Peyton Wilson is probably the replacement for Landon Roberts, you know, in the future. But, yeah, for a one-shot deal, if he has to start on Sunday, I think Peyton Wilson will do just fine.
One of the players that I really had my doubts about coming into the season, maybe it was because I didn't like the trade that he was involved in, but I did think, okay, maybe we're getting out ahead of our skis a little bit about Dante Jackson, but man, I will gladly eat crow about how he looked in week 1, Ray. He was one of the best defensive players, I thought, on the field.
Yeah, he's good. He can make plays after he catches the ball. I mean, you saw that return there. You know, he had the convoy going down the sidelines, and he made a nice little return, you know, that set up the offense there. So, you know, a lot of people have been critical of that Deontay Johnson trade because I don't think a lot of people were familiar with Dante Jackson because of him playing in the NFC pretty much for the entirety of his career. So, you know, Mike Tomlin knew him back at LSU. I think Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert were there for his workout. So they got to know them through the draft process about 5-6 years ago. So there was a comfort level already there with Mike Tomlin. And, you know, so far we talked about it even in training camp in the offseason. He's been a guy who hasn't looked out of place on that defense since he arrived.
How much have you watched of the first Broncos game against the Seahawks, and what were your initial takeaways on Bo Nix?
I wasn't all that impressed. I mean, you know, talk about the passing chart for Justin Fields, but Bo Nix averaged like, what, 3 or 4 yards per attempt or something like that? I mean,
he completed like 26 passes for like $130. It was almost like it was a line that was nearly impossible among today's standards. I have the exact 26 of 42 for 138 and 2 picks.
So it sounds like a Justin Fields performance, and if you take away the 30 and the 34 in the 40-yarder. I mean, that's basically what he did. And obviously, once they had to open it up and, you know, Seattle's defense, once Seattle's offense got the lead, they kind of put the clamps down on there. So, I don't think it's going to be an easy game, Donnie. I think the Broncos' defense is good, but, I mean, I would be shocked if the Steelers' defense went in there and gave up, you know, more than 17 points in this game. I just think this is a game that's tailor-made for that defense to go in there and dominate. I know it's a tough place to play. That's why I don't think it's going to be an easy game. But I think, again, if Justin Fields and that offense can play mistake-free football, I think this is a game the Steelers could and they should win.
All right, Ray, what is your prediction? Steelers in Denver on Sunday at 4:25.
Yeah, I'm going to go low scoring. I think you could probably guess the direction I'm going. I'm going to go 16-13. I think Justin Fields does get them in the end zone once. I think it'll be a good performance for Justin, but I think it's going to be a typical conservative game plan like we saw in Atlanta in week one.
I was really hoping you would say all field goals again, because are you aware of the bet that Pony put out there for this week?
No, what was it? Somebody had to hit him with a bat or something like that?
So he has, in his collection at home, he has a game-used Willie Stargell bat. So a very heavy piece of wood. And he said if they do not score a touchdown again and they win the game, he will let somebody hit him on the ass with that bat.
I don't know. I might make that bet with one of those banana wiffle ball bats, but not with a Willie Stargell, man. That's some heavy-duty lumber right there.
Ray, thanks so much for taking the time. Have fun in Denver.
All right. Thanks, Donnie. See you.
There we go. One of the best guys out there, Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette.